Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
And with you on the show tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Jay.
And Riley.
Good news today. Well, possibly good news. Something that could lead to good news, I guess you could say. This is from the Wall Street Journal. Australia asks the U.S. Justice Department to reach a plea deal with Assange. So we had somewhat of a similar article last week with just like there were some, as this article will point out, there were like some questions the UK government court was asking that were kind of like making them think maybe we can't extradite him or give him over to the US. I don't know. Would it be them extraditing him or the US extraditing him?
It would be the, I don't know. I know the UK at this point has custody of Assange, so they'd be extraditing him to the United States.
Okay. I was just wondering like how that word verb works right now. Yeah. I was like, would they be doing it or would we be extraditing him? You know, export and import.
Yeah, I don't know how that works either.
And I said we about the United States.
Well, yeah.
There's not a mouse in my pocket. I just remembered.
Okay, good. I'm glad there's not a mouse in your pocket. Don't mouse pocket me, Bonnie.
So this article from the Wall Street Journal says the Justice Department is under growing pressure to reach the U.S. Justice Department, it kind of implies, is under growing pressure to reach a plea deal with Julian Assange after a request to do so from the WikiLeaks founders native Australia and questions from a U.K. court that could prevent his extradition to the U.S. for many more months. And that seems like, is that it? Like, just prevent it for a few more months? Or
yeah, it seems like, are they trying to draw out the process a little longer, or are they trying to actually...
Or maybe the plea deal would just be like, oh, you reach a plea deal, and then you only do a certain amount of time, then we extradite you anyway. So it might not be good news at all.
Who knows?
I feel like he just shouldn't take the plea deal, but of course, that's what I always say.
Yeah.
The government of Australia last week asked the U.S. if it could reach a felony plea deal. Whoa, doesn't sound good. With Assange, that could result in his return home, according to people familiar with the matter. The other thing is, like, you're making a plea deal with the devil. They could get you over here and be like, you know what? We're not sending you home, and you're going to do time here. And then they just kill him or something. I would be terrified to come to the United States if I was him.
I would be, too, because the United States terrorist organization is nothing more than a violent gang. I mean, they have proven themselves time and time again to not be just, to be tyrants. And, you know, with political prisoners like Assange, they're going to be ruthless.
Yep. That's what I'm saying. Like, he quote unquote betrayed them. Like, I don't believe that, and you don't believe that, obviously, but that's what they like to say, which makes no sense, because if you've never even been to a country, how do you have any kind of allegiance to it?
And yeah.
And maybe it's not betrayed, the word they use. The word they use is, like, what's the word? Like, a Benedict Arnold... it's close to betray.
It's treason, maybe?
Yeah, they say that he committed treason, and it makes no sense because you literally, by the definition of that term, need to have already, like, pledged allegiance to a country or a group in order to be treasonous.
Well, I think you and I in this room have, at some point, pledged allegiance to a piece of cloth.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And, you know, we've committed that sin in our lifetimes, and so we're on the radio trying to repent of it, I guess, and... Most people don't see it as a sin because they value the state. And I think it's important for our listeners to realize that the state, the institution known as the government, is nothing more than a group of strangers. It's nothing more than the mafia masquerading as a service provider.
Yeah. And I don't know what do you mean by considering it a sin?
Well, to me, it was just a joke. Like, I guess I look at it as more of a joke thing that I was saying, oh, it's a sin, because, you know, statism is this vile religion, in my opinion, and it's an evil religion. And we pay homage to this evil religion at one point in our lives, which, you know, if you value freedom, it's kind of a sin if you want to look at it that way. But you don't have to look at it that way.
I feel like if you already didn't believe in it and you... pledged allegiance anyway to like save your skin in some way or just like save your reputation, then it would be kind of a sin because it'd be like going against your own conscience. But
okay,
to me it's like, and I don't really have a problem with you saying that, I'm just like I don't know, it's an interesting thought and conversation. But I feel like with me, it's like when I was Pledge Allegiance singing to the flag of the United States and Texas, because they make us do that in Texas high schools and middle
schools. Interesting.
Yeah, it's honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one nation, or one state, or something like that. I don't remember actually what's next. Lady Gaga wore a dress made of meat once to the VMAs in 2009.
I heard about that. You know, a lot of people think Lady Gaga is satanic, but that's a different show, unless you want to go there right now. I don't think she is. I think these pop stars are just pop stars. They're doing their thing. They're doing whatever. And these Christian weirdos out there, oh my gosh, they're satanic.
They do put a lot of weird crap that... It's definitely questionable. The thing is, like, I wouldn't use the term satanic, considering there's already like a definition of what that is. It's like Arya literally is a Satanist, and it means a certain thing. So I really don't get why these people, like, I feel like there's something fishy going on with a lot of pop culture. A lot of things that are just like, why are you all doing that? Why are you all covering one eye? Blah, blah, blah. And it can't, like, I feel like a lot of people are like, obviously it's for the attention. They did it for years and years before VigilantCitizen.com came around and people were like, hey, why are they all doing this same stuff? Why would they have just done that, like, with for no attention for decades? But that's definitely a whole different topic.
Yeah.
But, and I love Lady Gaga. Like, I'll listen to her music forever. And I feel like a lot of times that they, the pop stars, are just talented people who kind of have to go along to get along to get like their art out there.
Yeah, and they feel like they have to go along with the system.
Yeah, so I really hope that nothing like terrible is happening to them. Like sometimes I think like they put so much like mind control symbolism in their stuff, like meaning like they allude to like music video after music video after music video. Like Katy Perry is like a huge one, and Britney Spears like have these allusions talking about. Like, oh, they allude to the concepts of mind control or slavery in their music videos. Like, why? I really hope they're not slaves. Like, if something bad is happening to these people just for my entertainment, like, I would stop listening. If I knew that for sure, I'd, like, stop supporting it. It's just, like, it's really tough. Like, this is an entire topic that, like, 2022, I went through, like, crazy feelings and stopped listening to most music for a long time. And I actually had tickets to go see Lady Gaga in Boston for her Chromatica tour. And I didn't go. Like, I sold my tickets because I just had this, like, I felt like I shouldn't support, like, the control system, the controllers.
Well, and, you know, we were coming out of a pandemic in 2020 and everyone was like, oh, wear your mask, including the pop stars. And so I can understand
that's a huge part of it.
This desire to not be part of that system. And it's interesting that a lot of people still want to be part of that system because Taylor Swift is popular or whatever, and we got to be part of the system, we got to be part of a fashion trend, we got to follow the pop stars. And it's just so fascinating how involved people are with pop culture.
One thing about it was literally the masks, and it's not just like some people might find that totally frivolous and be like, oh, if you like the music, you should listen to it, even if your politics differ from hers. But the thing is, like, it's a lot deeper than that for me. When I was 11 and I discovered Lady Gaga, and all I did all day was like research about Lady Gaga, watch her music videos, watch her live performances on YouTube, hope that one day I could like meet her and stuff like that. The thing about it to me was she exemplified and was Miss individuality to me, like, be whoever you want.
Yeah,
do whatever you want to do. Don't let anybody else tell you you can't. You can do whatever you want. You can do whatever you set your mind to, types of stuff. And that's I've always really got that. That is literally her message and stuff. But then she goes and does stuff like wears a mask while performing and stuff like that. And I felt almost like betrayed in 2020. And
so it sounds like her hypocrisy or whatever caused some feelings of betrayal for you.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Because I always looked up to her for a specific, like, this is the thing. This is my theory now. I think that tons and tons of pop music, and the thing is, like, my thing is pop music. Like, I just love pop specifically. I love, like, Bjork, and she has those types of themes. I love Lady Gaga.
What about Beyonce?
I'm just not, like, a huge Beyonce fan, and I don't think that she would fall under this category I'm about to talk about, who, like, put, like, messages of individuality and freedom in their music. And but tons of the ones that I really like do that. And I have this theory now that, and it's not just pop, like a lot of this happens in rock, you know, like Nine Inch Nails, they have these themes about freedom and like stick it to the man and stuff like that and do whatever you want, be yourself and lead yourself. Well, they do that while on the other hand supporting politicians and doing stuff that like goes completely against that. And I wonder now if maybe they put these ideas of freedom and everything in their music, so that way your brain is just telling you, oh, this is freedom. Like listening to this song is that thing that I need on a biological level. That is it. And then your thirst for it is quenched. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
It's like a psychological game.
Yeah, that makes sense. So it sounds like to me what you're saying is that they're singing about freedom on one hand and wearing masks and muzzles on the other as though they're trying to portray that as actual freedom. Tyranny is freedom. Yeah.
And you on a, you know, subconscious level are believing that that is, you're not going to go out and look for freedom anymore.
Yep. Freedom is slavery.
So Julian Assange is the founder of WikiLeaks, and he made that website to put out some, I don't know if you'd call it like a dog whistle, considering he wasn't in the U.S. government. Well, he allowed people to become dog whistles by publishing on WikiLeaks. Like, isn't that what Snowden did? Snowden, like, worked with Assange, right?
I don't know if Snowden worked with Assange necessarily. I know Snowden was a former contractor for the NSA and published mm-hmm. ideas, but I don't know if he published them through Assange.
Hmm.
I know, who was it? Glenn Greenwald did a lot of reporting on Edward Snowden. He was the journalist that did a lot of reporting on Edward Snowden and the Snowden revelations and how the government was surveilling us.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was important. WikiLeaks was also important because Julian Assange was publishing supposedly government documents.
Yep.
And they didn't like it.
Yep, they did not like
that at all.
Because
it revealed their secrets and their schemes and how much of a sham they really are.
Yes, the United States government. And so the other sham government, the United Kingdom, currently has custody of I've never thought of it like that. Like, just read it like uck.
Yeah.
So the UK currently has custody of Julian Assange, and he's not doing well there. I've always heard that he's doing really bad in prison, and I don't blame him. I would be terrified to get given to the United States government if I were him.
Yeah, I mean, Belmarsh Prison, where he's being held in the UK, is just not a friendly place from what I've heard.
That's so weird. I always think of the UK as sort of like Canada. Like, how could they be mean? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, well,
but it's tyranny, not true, actually.
Tyranny looks really nice on the outside, but on the inside, it's a rotten core.
I agree. Well, I sometimes tyranny looks really bad on the outside, too.
Oh, it does.
But with, like, the kings and queens over there and stuff, I feel like they put a lot of effort into this front where they're like, oh, we are civilized. We are kings and queens, and we have tea parties and stuff.
Well, it's
we wear weird hats.
It's the way the people want to view them. They want to view the kings and queens as their special monarchs that are the saviors or the people they can look to in times of trouble or the people who are high above them and are so wonderful and they're brilliant and they're perfect, and we need to look up to these people. They're physical embodiments of the divine, but in reality, they're just people in meat suits with titles.
I agree, including the kings and queens, you know, no matter how they want to make themselves look.
Yeah.
And in the United States, they really do basically the same thing, like decorum and dressing up in suits, like you're saying. And I never really, I mean, not never, I don't know why I said never, but I haven't liked that kind of thing in a long time. When I was younger, I did, like, it's not like it was at the forefront of my mind, but I realized later that I definitely did think of those people as somehow different than us. Like, now I like to remind people that they're just people just like us, and they're also people who believe themselves to be better than us, and they're that just makes them parasites. They want to let you do all the work while they tell you what to do. They take 34% of your earnings over your lifetime, as we learned yesterday. They believe that they're your owners. They're just an evil monopoly, and they're also lunatics and despots and goons and thieves and
gangsters.
Gangsters, yeah. They're the mafia, the modern day mafia. Just
you
tried
know,
to legitimize itself.
Like you, I used to think these people were better as well. They were better than us. They're different. They're special. And it'd be so nice to be in their presence. But in reality, they're just people with titles. They're just like you and me. They just happen to have magical titles next to their name.
Right. I used to actually feel the same way where I thought like, oh, it'd be so nice to meet George Bush when I was a little kid. Sounds so weird now. Like, I literally, this is so weird, but I asked my mom and dad, I was like, would you let George Bush babysit us? And they were like, of course we would. And then I was just like, yay, that would be so fun. Now that's literally terrifying.
Yeah.
After like the Pizzagate stuff came
out. Yeah, I mean, wow. I'm sure, I don't know, let me ask you. Did you ever look up to your pastor or your church leaders when you were little?
Yeah, definitely.
See, I did too. And I thought the prophet, which I came from Mormonism, so the prophet was this special guy. He had so much love for humankind and was chosen by God to lead the people. And people have said to me, I've been in the prophet's presence, and he's such a good man. I can feel goodness and love reading from him. And I'm like, and now that I think about it as an anarchist today, I think about it as this placebo effect. I mean, they're feeling things that aren't real. I mean, they're real inside their head, but they're not true in the sense that these people are not radiating love from them. They're just people with titles, and you're associating so much importance with these people and titles.
It's probably your own love you're feeling because, you know, you've been manipulated to feel that way for them.
You know, the cabal is falling apart, I hope, and people are, you know, waking up and understanding. And then so I just see this as some Australian people are putting pressure on Australian representatives about Julian Assange. But the thing is Australia, New Zealand, you know, the European nations, like all the NATO nations, United States, Canada, they're all run by the same diabolical handful of people, as far as I'm concerned. They're all run by these, you know, collective group of, you know, uber ultra rich people who we don't know who their names are. We don't know where they live. We don't know their identities.
Yeah. And,
you know, it's
they seem to want full and total control over our lives, how our healthcare is going to look like. What they can do to us during a scamdemic, I mean, a pandemic.
They
want to regulate our speech. They want to do all sorts of things to us in the name of
saving the babies.
Yeah, saving the babies, saving the climate.
It's all for the kids.
It's all for the children, all for the climate, all for the earth. It's like, you know, they don't care about these things.
But as far as Australian citizens, you know, trying to get their government to help Assange, I really doubt that. To me, it sounds like the more we read into it, I was like, wait a second, this doesn't sound like a very good deal for Julian Assange. It's probably not even good news. It's probably just the Australian government, you know, colluding with the United States government to get him, you know, he's going to be a felon for what? For something that should be protected under the United States First Amendment, but he's not even a citizen. They shouldn't have any power to go after him at all.
I mean, he would have protections under the Magna Carta. As far as I'm concerned, he has all of these rights because he's, you know, an upright man with opposable thumbs that can fog up a mirror and communicate with us. I mean, you know, I don't care, you know, where he comes from. He should not be trespassed on unless he trespassed on another. And clearly Assange did not trespass on anybody. And these are simple fundamentals of law that bar maggots, you know, lawyers who are members of the Bar Association, all these judges, prosecutors, they have just been, you know, just creating constant miscarriages of justice and following through with them left and right because most people don't fight back. Most people are just NPCs and they just pay the fines and just go along to get along. And
they want to be law-abiding citizens.
And the thing with all the masses, too, is, you know, we got this massive enslavement system now called that I call the algorithm, which is, you know, enslaving, you know, the masses unbelievably, you know, through the internet devices and all this stuff. And it's doing a really good job. And then these algorithmic slaves are, as far as I'm concerned, they're just mostly doing what the algorithm tells them to do, who to vote for or whatever. And, you know, I think we're going to see a lot of these places that where the most of the population are these, you know, city urban liberal types who, you know, are in very much into their internet devices and not taking care of themselves and are just totally rooting for, you know, the leftist government all the time. They are, you know, they're going to collapse. There's a lot of that in Australia. There's a lot of, you pay attention, Australia, New Zealand, Europe, United States, Canada, these big blue cities, They're going to go down the toilet. It's
yeah,
just
but
happening.
They already have. And the other thing about it is, I feel like if they were going to fight back at all, that's just
Who's
not going to happen. The citizens of Australia at this point.
No,
because
probably not.
The stuff they went through for COVID was crazy. They don't have guns. They still don't believe they need guns. And I feel like if anybody has two brain cells to rub together in Australia, you would not live there anymore. So
right, that's I hung out with a bunch of expat Australians and New Zealanders and Europeans in Mexico when I was at Anarchapulco. Mm. And one guy,
recent expats, like since COVID or before.
A lot of them were because of COVID.
Oh wow!
Yeah, a lot of them were like 2020. They just left Europe. You know, I don't know when it was when Max Egan left Australia. He doesn't even think he can go back there at this point.
Wow.
Another friend I worked with, she's just Rebecca. She's part of Anarchapulco. And, you know, she's from Australia and, you know, she's living in Mexico. And the thing is there's a lot of people with means and money and foresight. They are getting out of those countries. Getting out of a lot of those countries.
You know, going back to what you said about algorithmic slaves, Jay, I think that it's easy to become an algorithmic slave because, you know, technology is a wonderful tool. It enables us to communicate with our friends or neighbors around the world, and it's brought us closer together as humanity. But, you know, social media companies and things like them are taking advantage of our vulnerability to connect. And you know, finding ways to serve us things that we will always click on to match our echo chamber because they want us in an echo chamber. It's easier to control people in an echo chamber and get them formulated to form against a group of other people.
Yeah, like if your posts are not actually reaching people who disagree with you, what's the point of posting? That's
absolutely
how I feel a lot of the time. Like on Twitter, I'm like, why do I just see all these people tweeting the same exact stuff like me? It's like, makes it feel like there's just no point. Like that's probably what their feeds look like too. Jeremy from Australia calling. Jeremy, what's on your mind?
I'm calling in as the TikTok correspondent, giving a radio voice to those who want to be keyboard warriors.
That's a really cool idea. Do you have another comment?
Yeah. So, yeah, well, it's pretty cool. I did it yesterday, and I was able to reply to, you know, someone's video or someone's comment with another video of you answering them. So let's do it again today.
Cool.
When the guard banned you from seeing Ian for a month, which was overturned, you called them the F word, which I mean the F word that's a bundle of sticks that get burned up. And someone who I think I agree with said that's a gross word to use, though. Maybe try to find some more creative insults.
I don't think I need to be
a power trip.
I don't think I need to be creative or actually like care about these people's feelings in any way. This is a person who is proudly keeping my husband in a cage and then trying to do extremely petty things to me and purposely pushing me to the edge, being extremely disrespectful to me. I really don't. I'm not one of those people who cares about how much how sweet I am to somebody who is doing things clearly to disrespect me. I'm not going to be bullied by this commenter or anyone else to police my speech. And I know where people are coming from.
Finish,
it makes me look bad.
Me?
Yeah, I do.
Sorry. If I finish what she's saying, she's not saying that you shouldn't call that person names. She's talking about
the specific
name
word.
She said, yeah, he's definitely on a power trip, but I'd rather say things like stale ham sandwich of a man than use a word used for so much hate against vulnerable people.
Well, good for her. She can choose to do that.
Yeah. But I would just say, what is the point?
This
of
word
using
actually isn't meant as just an insult to gay people anymore. Words change, and I wasn't using it to mean you are a gay human being. No, I was using it to mean, this is the thing. I've been friends with so many gay people in my life that they always have this conversation where they're saying that word has basically been taken back. Just like women took back the word slut. And now they like ask guys to call them that and stuff. Well, that word has basically been taken back, and it really just means a loser at this point. If somebody is using it to insult a gay person and you know that they're doing that, you know that that's what it means. But when I was calling him that, it was because I was saying you're just like a beneath the slug loser with nothing better to do, no power, you're not a man, and that's what I meant by it. And I don't really care if other people disagree. I don't do anything to disrespect gay people for being gay, and I think if somebody just can't handle hearing a specific word without, you know, getting offended for the other people, like, you don't need to be offended on gay people's behalf. So I'm not offending gay people, or I'm not trying to offend gay people on purpose, or anti-gay people, or keeping any rights from them. And I don't mean you, I mean that's the commenter.
True. Yeah, yeah. No, but that's true. I would never, you know, take away someone's right to say something, but would you use the N-word? That's been taken back by Black people, but you're not Black, and you're not gay, so.
I don't think that that's the same at all, because it's not something that has ever been okayed by Black people for, like, anyone to say. That's the thing, like,
right,
when you hear fag hag, when
gay
you...
people have told you that
literally that has happened. That actually literally has happened in my life. But also, I think that the whole culture has been using that word to mean loser for a long time. Like, if somebody calls a politician that somebody doesn't like a faggot, which is FCC not isn't going to fine radio stations for saying that word or anything, then a bunch of gay people won't like that agree with that. They're not going to stand up and be like, yeah, well, we hate this politician who's doing this, blah, blah, blah. But you shouldn't say that word. Like, maybe some, but not most of the ones I've known in my life, especially since I don't live in, like, California. And honestly, California should just, like, break off and go do its own thing, because it's like they just want to control people's lives. Most I really just don't think it's that big of a deal. Like, when you hear the term fag hag, it's like used as a joke. Like, people joke around about it. Honestly, I think the term fag hag is more insulting to people like me, who have historically been somebody that gay people will come to and be vulnerable with and tell me. Like, I have been the first person, over 10 people have come to tell them me that they're gay. And it's just been a weird thing that's happened in my life tons of times. It's more offensive to me because I'm not a hag.
I just got some good news here in Plymouth, New Hampshire. Some school literally shut down in Plymouth, New Hampshire.
Oh.
Because the people voted not to give the school any more budget, any more money, or the school budget.
Yeah. Wow, that's awesome.
Just seen a headline of that. So that's got the teachers union really upset there. And you know, these teachers unions are, you know, going to fight like hell to make sure all these, you know, teachers got jobs, because that's all they care about is they have
an excuse for having a job.
Right, right. And they don't care about the education of the children. And it looks like now school kids basically are graduating high school. Most of them can't even read in the United States, especially in all the cities.
It's also like going back to what we were saying about people becoming the people you knew becoming correctional officers.
Oh, yeah, it went to their head.
What they learned in school about how they wanted to have 50% of the United States, like, in the system somehow. Well, it's just an excuse for these parasites to have a job, because they can't do anything actually productive that somebody would value and ask them to do for money. So they just don't want to. It's either they can't, and I don't mean they can't, like, they're disabled, but I mean they never learn to, or they just don't want to and don't want to learn to, and they see this system as something where they can do a job, just do what they're told, and also get money.
Yeah, the money's very addictive, the incentive of money. I see this with single moms, that as soon as they start getting on welfare, they go authoritarian. When they used to be libertarian, when they used to be freedom leaning, now they're, you know, all about, just playing ball so they can keep on getting their welfare. You know, they're making up things about their, you know, their babies.
Yeah,
you know, daddies left and right, so they can, because their lawyers tell them to, because the social workers tell them to. All this stuff, it's crazy.
So, Jeremy, did you have anything else you wanted to add? Didn't want to leave you hanging there. I know you're calling from Australia. Okay. It might be expensive.
No, it's free on Sip. Wanted to say to anyone that is watching on TikTok, if you just go to the profile and click on the little phone icon anytime between 7 and 10 U.S. Eastern time, you can get your voice heard on the air.
Oh, Oh, thank you so much,
excellent,
Jeremy. That's awesome. I've been trying to remember every day. Even like about an hour ago, I did, like, TikTok came up, so I told everybody, follow us on TikTok. It's at Free Talk Live. We got that username. There's no underscores or anything like that, so it should be pretty easy to find us. Jeremy has a goal of reaching 10,000 followers. And
then we can go live, and LRN will be live on TikTok 24/7.
That would be awesome.
So cool.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah. We really appreciate it. Is there anything else that you wanted to like comment on what we were talking about?
With the words are not that important to me, and I would never, legislate against any free speech or anything. I don't believe in the government anyway, but I do try to choose my words in a way that's going to be, well, I guess in this case, you were just being angry, so it didn't really matter.
I do know where you're coming from, though. Like, I would never get so angry that I just said something that I completely don't want people to say to me, is just stuff like that. It's just like, the other thing is, a lot of things that I believe as the right thing to do, the respectful thing to do, I throw that out the window when I'm talking to a cop that has my husband in a cage.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy, so I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
Unscreened caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Hi, my name is Claire Best, and I'm calling in about the DCIS and the child abuse at the Youth Detention Center and how it ties into Police Officer James F. McLaughlin from Keene.
Mm-hmm.
I just got records from James F. McLaughlin from the 1980s and also from a lawsuit filed against him by Father Gordon McRae in 1994, before Father Gordon McRae was prosecuted based on charges trumped up by McLaughlin. And it's pretty shocking to see what's going on, because McLaughlin had a record against him in the 1980s with the Keene police, but he also had a federal entrapment record from 1988 in Massachusetts.
So is he still a cop? I've heard a bit about this. How did you to find out about this stuff too?
So James McLaughlin is still a cop. He's actually still working. He's still working with Chris McLaughlin, who is the DA of Cheshire County. He has a lawsuit at the moment against the City of Keene Police, as a John Doe, trying to get his name removed from the lorry list.
Hmm.
Okay, so yeah, that's the reason I've heard about him. So what is this new information you said that you have regarding him? I guess I'm a little lost, because like a lot of stuff I just don't know. I've been hearing similar things popping up ever since the state started saying, yes, people have the right to do a FOIA request on anyone and any cop's disciplinary actions from the past. There's been a bunch of things coming out, so it's like, I don't really know which is which.
Yes, so there have been a bunch. People have heard about Rep. John Stone from Claremont,
mm-hmm.
Who was a police officer who had apparently threatened his police chief to murder him after he had raped and murdered his wife and daughter. And that came about because he was being investigated for a inappropriate relationship with a 15-year-old girl who was an informant for what, I don't know. And that was hidden. Before that story came out, there was a story in In-Depth New Hampshire. There have been several, in fact, in In-Depth New Hampshire about this guy, James McLaughlin, who is New Hampshire's top internet sex crimes police officer. And what every parent, family, everyone should be aware of is that there is, but he was caught in federal entrapment, meaning luring someone in to commit a crime that they would never have looked, you know, gone for, back in 1995, and that the First Circuit Court of Appeals ruled on this in 1998. And what he did is just shocking. What he did is he posed as this woman called Frances, 31-year-old, single mom with three children under the age of 12, who put an ad in a newspaper seeking a male companion for fun times and to mentor her children. And they got 97 replies, and this one guy from Maine replied and got into a conversation with Frances, and the guy from Maine said, "What do you mean mentor?" And she said, or rather he said, she said, you know, to have sex with my three children, to teach them to have sex and so forth.
Yeah.
And so this guy from Maine was like, "Well, that's illegal." And she said, "Well, we're very open and we do stuff in front of the camera and blah, blah, blah." And because the guy in Maine was attracted to her, he sort of went along with the narrative and agreed to meet her in Keene. So he drove from Maine to Keene. And when he got to Keene, he was arrested in the parking lot and they framed him as a pedophile.
Wow.
So the case went to the First Circuit Court of Appeals, and they basically ruled that the government, i.e. James McLaughlin, were the ones who sexualized children, who came up with the notion of sexualizing children in the first place, and that this guy was entrapped. And
these entrapments are so gross, because it's like, why is this some kind of an important service we need from the cops? Like, it's so
they're
gross.
They're felonies.
Well, because
they're felonies and they're illegals. And the question that every family in New Hampshire should be asking is, why is the New Hampshire Police Department employing James McLaughlin after 1998? When he was found on federal entrapment? And I've heard, I haven't been able to verify yet, I've heard that he's not allowed to travel to certain countries because he'd be arrested upon arrival, and that he's not allowed to frequent certain eating establishments like McDonald's, Dunkin' Donuts, and KFC because he conducted his entrapment business there. Now, I'm trying to get documentation on this, and I'm in the process of it. But in the meantime, I think it's just everybody should know this guy's using aliases of teenage kids, you know, sending out unsolicited images of kids, trying to lure people in to commit crimes without them knowing it. It's horrible.
This whole thing with New Hampshire DCYF, I've been in talks with a particular state representative who's been investigating this now for years, sort of on his own. He's not on this particular committee, but he tells me he's done a lot of research on it and the numbers that in the past decade, and this was a conversation now that's 2 years old, but in the past decade, the Department of Risk and Benefit, I think is what it's called, that's who pays out like settlements when New Hampshire gets sued. The Department of Risk and Benefit has paid out over $300 million, he said, in the past decade.
Crazy.
Now that is to settle claims against DCYF. So if you simply just internet search New Hampshire DCYF settlements or NHDCYF settlements, you'll just find article after article after article after article of children molested, children killed, children this, children that, after taken into custody. And then you will find that, you know, and then it's like this Montgomery Harmony thing. My speculation is, so Montgomery Harmony's father.
It's Harmony Montgomery.
Harmony Montgomery's father looks like just a total, like, messed out drug addict, whatever. And so he was probably.
That was a little girl, like a 5 or younger year old.
She was like 5 when she died.
Between 5 and 7 years old,
So and so some people who are kind of looking into this are talking about the mother. I guess the mother had some issues, but she wasn't like horrible. But what we're gonna find out with Harmony Montgomery's father, I don't even know if I forget his name. We're gonna probably find out. I'm gonna speculate that he's a confidential informant.
I think he was actually a mule for them.
Yes, yes.
So you think he was working with them? And that's why they gave him custody, even though he was clearly like the worst choice for parent.
Yes. Hmm. Yes. And I also think that, in fact, when Chief Oldenburg, I think his name is, who is the Manchester police, when he gave his first interview, if you watch his body language, he's very uncomfortable and he says someone's lying. Well, Kayla Montgomery started off by lying to the grand jury, and then she changed her tune and they excused her for collecting welfare payments and that if she would testify for them. Well, there's a case in Kansas where a prosecutor has just lost her license because she was making these deals where these women would lie for them about what really happened in order to get their children back. And I think this is what happened with Kayla Montgomery.
Yeah.
And I actually think that when the police found Adam Montgomery, they found him with his current girlfriend, and then his current girlfriend suddenly committed suicide. And it wasn't the Manchester police that announced that. It was the spokesperson, the media person for the Manchester police who said it. So in other words, they weren't saying it directly. And they just said, she's been found dead and there are no suspicious circumstances.
Whoa.
Well, I'm sorry. That's suspicious circumstances. They found him living in the car with this girl. You know, her name disappears out of it all. And then they don't say it themselves. They have a spokesperson say it for them, that it wasn't under suspicious circumstances. I think that's rubbish.
Whoa.
Yeah, I grew up in Palmer, Massachusetts, and right bordering town is Warren, Mass. And there's a girl named Molly Bish, and her remains were found on basically this wilderness area.
Like a little girl, like a child?
She was a lifeguard. She was a teenager. So I'm just going to drop the guy's name, but basically, so I grew up in this town. I lived there for 30-some-odd years until I moved away. And did a lot of legal research, did a lot of stuff. You know, I've been kind of doing my, I'm free, I'm not a slave kind of thing for a long time. And there's this guy who was really into researching a lot, and he did a lot of work on this Molly Bish thing. And there was this confidential informant number 62, Jerry Battistoni. And the guy who told me about him was a limo driver at the time. And this dude basically, and it was a limo driver, and he was also did a little jail time for doing some freedom oriented stuff, victimless crimes things. I'm not gonna say who that guy was, but he basically laid out the story that this confidential informant, fit number 62 for the Eastern Hampden County Narcotics Drug Task Force, was known for basically had a got his dopamine hit from, you know, doing unspeakable thing to young girls. And this girl, I think she was about 15-ish or 14-ish maybe when this happened. She wasn't like old enough to drive, I don't think. Her parents dropped her off at her lifeguard gig and then never saw her again. But the mom also saw this guy in this, you know, Buick Regal, Buick Grand National, Monte Carlo, mid-90s, you know, General Motors car that was white, and they had all description of it. And according to my buddy, he looked just like this, you know, Jerry Battistoni guy that he sort of knew through like limo rides and stuff, and also like his prison record. And he was a drug dealer, and he was a confidential informant. And
did he get off because he was working with them or something?
Well, he was in jail for some other stuff. This right. Jerry Battistoni, and he was killed in jail. He was allegedly killed in jail because word had gotten around that he had, you know, done this to Molly Bish. Now,
that's not a joke. They really do take it really seriously. And in jail, they don't like child molesters.
And the weird thing is Molly Bish's father was a probation officer, and John Bish was his name. And a lot of the word around town was that he's going to, you know, milk this for every political inch and try to be the governor of Massachusetts over it, which, you know, never happened. Nobody ever heard of him. And it was a horrible thing. And, you know, I never knew who Molly Bish was. She's about 4 years younger than me, I guess. I was like 21 when this happened, but I knew like hundreds of kids that knew her personally.
We have Rob in Vermont. Rob, what is on your mind tonight?
Yeah, boy, what a conversation you guys had with Claire Best. She's Boy, she's a wealth of information.
She seems like she's full of a lot of information about corruption and government corruption.
Yeah, she actually lives out in L.A., but I think that her and her husband are going to be coming up to New Hampshire. They have some family, I guess, in New Hampshire. They're going to be coming up this year. But the reason why I called is I wanted to make like a little announcement here. And this is like right on the subject of what you guys were talking about in terms of, the corrupt police and corrupt officials and the way that we deal with this. And that is on the 24th of April of this month, the city council over in Claremont, New Hampshire, are going to try to fight to get Representative Stone to lose his seat. And I'm thinking that this is a perfect time, for people to, start standing up and calling this, mess out. And, I'm going to be there. And I hope to see a lot of you other guys there, too.
Give us an example of how you would call this mess out. Explain the mess a little bit.
Well, I mean, this, New Hampshire state representative, had a relationship with a girl that was, 15, 16. He threatened his own, superiors. I mean, he's just a horrible person. And this guy's on a legislative seat in Concord?
Oh, he is? He's on top of being a cop? Or is this a different one, sir?
He is not a cop in Claremont anymore because he resigned because he had these investigations that were being looked at on him. And, he won a seat over at in Concord as a representative. And then, within the last 2 or 3 weeks, Damian Fisher got a FOIA request information on Stone and then just threw his, everything out there to paper for everyone to see, because we need to start calling out these bad cops.
Yes, and this Lori list needs to be a public document, and there is so many cops that should be on this list that aren't, and what people need to start doing is they need to start swearing out affidavits and filing affidavits with of trespass if these police have trespassed on you, and most of these police are trespassing on people constantly, and send it to their superiors, send it to the state representative, send it to the executive committee. If you look up on the internet, New Hampshire House of Representatives Executive Committee.
Well, what do you think people should do if they don't want to swear that, like, oh, Leah Cushman represents me and I've hired her to represent me? Because I would never sign those papers.
Personally. It doesn't say you've hired her.
I know,
but
I'm being kind of dramatic on purpose.
They represent the people in general.
But she doesn't represent me and I don't agree to that.
Well, then if you claim you have no representation, you have no representation and the beatings will continue.
I don't think that's the only, if no one represents me instead of myself, then, they're going to keep doing. I think that there are different things that could be done. This hasn't done anything in the last 250 years or whatever.
It hasn't been done in the last. It's been well over 100 and some odd years since this type of thing that we have done with Leah Commission.
I just mean the
Cushman
idea that you can tell state reps or whoever what to do and that they represent you and make them do what you want.
Because that's the remedy in the Constitution, that the state representatives are a part of a trust. And this trust is the Constitution. They swore an oath to it. You didn't swear an oath to the Constitution. I didn't swear an oath to the Constitution. The state representatives did. And it's a trust indenture is what the Constitution refers to itself.
Like, speaking of me not swearing an oath to the Constitution,
right.
I never agreed to be part of this system at all. So I just don't think that I'm going to go put my name on some papers basically saying that that's basically no one could tell me that I didn't agree to this anymore if I signed something like that saying, oh, Leah Cushman represents me and I told her what to do and now she's going to do this. That's basically like joining the social contract. Then they're going to be like, well, you agreed to it. You agreed for them to tell you can't put this
It could be
in your body or whatever.
I guess it could be joining a social contract, but, you know, if nobody orders these representatives to do anything by affidavit, then the lobbyists will just have their way with the representatives and they won't represent the people. The representatives need instruction, and the only way they can receive instruction is via sworn affidavit.
Peakless Mountaineer, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I just wanted to briefly talk about the FISA amendments that are going through.
What is that?
So FISA is it's an end run around getting a warrant in order to spy on people. And in theory, the idea is that, well, these aren't U.S. citizens, so they don't have rights. But they are very frequently being used to spy on U.S. citizens by connecting them with someone who is not.
In this, do they state that it's for non-U.S. citizens or it's for potential enemies to the United States? Because let's remember that U.S. citizens in 1933, with the amendment of the Trading with the Enemy Act, U.S. citizens got classified as enemies of the United States in 1933.
Oh.
I'm not sure which one it does. I know that the way that people are putting up with it is because it's for those who aren't citizens and therefore theoretically don't have the rights of privacy or their papers and all of that.
So what does this mean to you? Like, why did this? Why is this important enough to talk about on the radio?
Right. The reason I wanted to talk about it, two things. One, I wanted to give out a number that is useful for calling whichever senator is in your area code. And the other thing I wanted to, the reason for the number, so they're redefining this term, because as Jay will certainly attest, a lot of this comes down to the definitions that they use. And they're redefining a communications service provider to be just the broadest possible definition, including like, if you have a cleaning lady and she comes into your home where your laptop is, she is being defined as a communications service provider. And
oh,
the reason
wow.
that this is, yeah. And the reason this is important, part of the FISA thing is that the NSA can force labor out of anyone that is a communications service provider. So they can, with this, and she would have a gag order if this happened, but they could have your cleaning lady be forced to go in and like plug in this thumb drive into your laptop because she's a communications service provider if this thing passes. And yeah, it's,
just
it's
because
just
she is
not,
just because she is like, a, you know, what they call legal immigrants. And she's
oh,
in
no,
your house.
No,
or...
this is for citizens. No, like, any business, the requirement is that you have access to equipment that communications are transmitted or stored on.
What?
So, yeah, they're just really expanding this communication service provider definition to basically be anyone with access to any kind of communications equipment of anyone. And at that point, they can just essentially enslave you. Make you do unpaid labor in just spying on anyone that they want to, and then you are not allowed to talk about it.
It just sounds like the tyrants, despots, and thieves are trying to make us more of their slaves for whatever reason.
Because they love control.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they've publicly recognized in things like the World Economic Forum that the big problem right now is information. So they are trying everything they can to clamp down on our ability to speak to each other.
So a troll in the troll chat, the On Air Now chat on Matrix for Free Talk Live, says as long as there's a foreign element to the conversation, they can use FISA. So if a foreign national is involved or if it takes place in a foreign country or the data goes through a foreign country, is that, does that line up with what you think that all this means?
Yep, that's accurate.
What is a foreign country?
Right.
So
these are all legal terms.
Christopher Gronsky in his at destinationfreedoms.org, he in part of his presentation he talks about that New Hampshire, for example, is foreign to New York because they are independent sovereign nations, a nation state of New York and a nation state of New Hampshire. They are also foreign to the United States. And there's Supreme Court rulings on this. There's all kinds of things that back up this statement. So in this FISA thing, if they're saying it's a foreign nation, well, the United States is a foreign nation with respect to the nation state of New Hampshire or the nation state of Massachusetts. They're independent sovereign nation states. But there's also a New Hampshire that is a corporate franchise. It's just of the United States. It's a different entity.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.